Hey Dialed fam, it's your coach Derek here. Before we jump into the episode, I wanted to give you the heads up that the format is a little bit different than normal. For a while, I've been wanting to do two things. Make the intros more clear and concise because you know I have the gift of gab and I can just go on and on and on and I just get excited. I like to talk about it. I'm like a 12-year-old girl writing in her diary. I open up the pages and I pour my heart out. That's honestly how a lot of these episodes feel, but I'm trying to save that for more the end of the episode because I think that having more concise, clear information in the beginning parts of the episode will be great for new listeners. And then the people who are really invested in it can really learn more about myself and the back end of Dialed Health toward the end of it. It just seems like a better natural flow of the show and kind of a fun way to end it. And also I've been wanting to, for the second point, and change is to make the episodes a little bit shorter. And again, that is not to give you less information, but it's really to try and clear out some of the rambling and the ranting and just save it for one part, more so the end of the episode. I mean, I'm always gonna get triggered. I'm always gonna open up a can here and there throughout the episode. I want it to be relaxed and I want it to be fun, but I find myself just getting a little sloppy is how it feels. And I think that these changes will make that a little bit better, at least from my end. So you can let me know what you think. I'm kind of curious, but it's not going to be a drastic change. I just wanted to give you the heads up. Lastly, we have our first ad, which is super exciting. Now, stay tuned after the bulk of the episode. I'll be reading that ad, and you can let me know what you think about that. So anyways, you guys, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Have a great week. Let's dive into it. What's up, Dialed fam? Happy Wednesday and welcome to the Strength Training for Cyclists podcast by Dialed Health. My name is Derek Teal. I'm the owner and head coach here at dialedhealth.com. And today I'm going to tell you exactly how to warm up for a strength workout with specific steps and options. I want to give you a variety of ways to implement this to meet your personal needs, but I want to make sure that it's clear and that you can really take these action steps into your next workout. Because there's nothing worse than listening to a whole podcast like this or reading an entire article with what claims to have the answer you're looking for, only for you to walk away with like a vague understanding of it. And it's very common in the health and fitness industry because most things are not black and white. I mean, I've been guilty of it in the past, but at least with this podcast episode, you have the steps listed like step 1, 2, 3, 4 with some options in there for you. So really you have a tangible thing to use. Now I will say if you are a member of the website already, you are doing a version of these warm-ups, whether it's a program or a guided workout, but listening to this will give you a better understanding of why we do it the way we do, and also just more confidence in the process in general. So stick around. I hope you enjoy the episode. And if you are just loving the podcast in general, please rate and review it. Give me 5 stars on Apple and say anything positive about the podcast. Literally anything. Don't overthink it. And with that being said, guys, let's dive into this thing. Oh, I forgot to mention one more thing. We have a quote, we got some announcements because we're doing those later in the episode, a little bit of a new format, and we also have our first ad. So stay tuned, it's coming up. Today's quote comes from none other than the man himself, Warren Buffett. Here's what he has to say. The chains of habit are too light to be felt until they are too heavy to be broken. I'm gonna repeat that one more time. The chains of habit are too light to be felt until they are too heavy to be broken. Basically, what he's saying here is that you build habits so subtly that sometimes you don't even realize it. And they can be growing so much that by the time you do realize it, it's so implemented that it's very hard to change. And that's the chains of habit being too light to be felt until they are too heavy to be broken. You could literally wrap yourself in chains of potentially a negative habit and not even see it coming. And it's kind of a twisted, negative way to look at it, but it is so real. And I'm gonna give you kind of like a lightweight example of this. Not lightweight in the sense that it isn't very real, but lightweight in the sense that it's like, I'm not talking about my like meth addict or something like that. We're gonna talk about food. However, I will say food addiction is very, very underrated. I think it's it should be taken a lot more seriously. But for me, you know, the first time I heard this was, it was a couple years ago. I can't remember if it was like Think and Grow Rich that I was reading or something like that. But I remember It came up in my head when I was doing my first real round of food tracking. And at that time, I had put the restriction on my diet of no food, no dessert and no alcohol. And it was the first time I've really ever done that, because growing up my entire life, I ate so much junk food. Like, I just lived off of junk food. And I got to a point where I started eating very healthy, but I would still eat a lot of junk food at night. It was like, all day I'd eat super healthy, nutritious whole foods, whole grains, wide variety, fruits, veggies, plants, nuts, seeds, oils, fats, like all the good stuff. And then I would just throw some Ben and Jerry's on top of it. And honestly, that is really not a poor diet in my opinion. The problem was I wanted to be leaner than I was. I didn't feel like the body I had represented who I felt like I was inside, just to be totally transparent with you. And I was like, what's the deal? And the deal is I was just eating too much food. Simply, I tracked my food and I realized, holy smokes, I'm eating like 4,000 calories a day. And my basal metabolic rate is like 1700 or 1800 before I do my active calories on top of that. You know, when I track now, I do like 2200 calories or 2000 calories when I get really, really lean, like single digit stuff. But yeah, it was obviously too much food and I just wasn't as lean as I wanted to be. So I put those restrictions on top of food tracking because I was like, these are obvious things I need to adjust. Just the desserts, you know, the cookies, the pastries, like anything I consider a treat, I'm cutting it out, like a sweet treat. And what was so insane for me, and this was like the habit I had built that I didn't even realize, because I would, at that time, I wasn't really eating much junk food, I would say, throughout the week. Not a lot. You know, I still would have that Ben and Jerry's throughout the week here and there, but I would mostly save it for the weekends, like a lot of people get in the habit of doing. And so the first week that I couldn't do that, which was the promise I made with myself, and I kept, by the way, I woke up Friday morning and I'm brushing my teeth. Yeah, it's like 4:30 or 5 a.m. I mean, I know at the time I was doing 5 a.m. sessions, so it might have been like 4 in the morning. I'm brushing my teeth and all of a sudden I was thinking about what food I was going to eat that night. Like in my head, I'm like, okay, what am I going to eat for dinner? Oh, what am I craving? What sounds good? And then I looked at myself in the mirror. I'm like, dude, it's 4 a.m. I'm half awake. I have a mouthful of toothpaste and I'm already thinking about what I'm going to eat at night. And that showed me it was such an ingrained habit, and it started with my thoughts the morning of like eating some type of food like that. You know, I'm brushing my teeth and I'm already thinking about this. How is it the first thing that I think about in the day? Like, how ingrained is that? And then of course, what I realized was throughout the day, I'd be like reinforcing that thought and thinking about it more and more and more. And by the time I get to the night, I'm like sending it. And when that wasn't an option, dude, it messed with my entertainment, to be honest, because that's what I was using for entertainment. And so it was a hard thing to break. And I'm still not perfect now, but I have, oh my gosh. Like, I was just talking to my wife. It's like, it's so rare that I'll even eat a full pint of Ben and Jerry's anymore, or have this quote unquote kind of binge type night where I have a heavy meal followed by dessert and drinks. I just like, I can't even do it anymore. And I still indulge in a little bit of that stuff, but it's crazy how far it's come. And that was the start of it. But yeah, it was a hard process. And again, it starts with your thoughts. So that's my lightweight thing. Your thoughts are so powerful. Like they are literally, it's like your future. Your thoughts are kind of like your future. What you really think about and obsess, it's gonna come out. Whether you say it, whether you act on it, whatever it is, any area of life. We'll leave it to that. I'm sure you can, you know, I'm sure you have some like hot button stuff that's kind of coming up, but just keep that in mind. The chains of habit are too light to be felt until they are too heavy to be broken. And it starts with your thoughts. We have some announcements for the Dialed fam. The first one being about the DH Vert Challenge. This is the Dialed Health Vert Challenge, which is a PR effort of vertical ascent in one ride. It's going to be held the last week of September, and you can join virtually or in person and do it on the same track that I'm doing my Everesting attempt on. And the real goal here, you guys, is to push your own personal limits, whether it's on a mountain bike, on a road bike, on a gravel bike, whatever style of riding you're doing. The goal is for you to PR your vert in one ride. And if you don't have access to vert, but you still want to do like a distance PR, we want you a part of it, because that way, like, you're still pushing your own boundaries on what you feel like you're capable of. I mean, I'm going to be more than doubling my current PR of vert on this ride attempt. And well, I'm going to do some big efforts leading up to it, but that's currently where I'm at now. So it should be right on the edge of like what you think is possible or what you're comfortable with, just right over the edge. So whether that's 2K, 5K, 10K, 15K, 20K, whatever it is, go sign up and be a part of it. The virtual event is happening on the whole last week of September. You have basically that whole week to do your ride and submit it. September 26th is the in-person event, and then I'm doing mine on the 25th, but man, I'm pumped about it. People are starting to sign up, and I'm going to be getting very vocal about it on Instagram and other social media outlets very, very soon, and we're gonna really start pumping this thing out. So if you're listening to this, you're one of the first to know, so go sign up, let me know if you have any questions, and I can't wait to actually do this thing. Now, another announcement is the We Got to Hang Out podcast that I did. It was an interview with Christopher Strickland. He's the host. And it's just a very casual conversation. We do talk about dialed health, but honestly, I compare it to just having a drink with somebody and hanging out in a bar. If we were to talk for a couple hours, this is probably what it'd be like. You know, it's rapid fire questions, it's deep conversation, it's kind of off the wall stuff that you won't hear me talking about here too much, just because there's some things outside of the umbrella of health and fitness and more personal. So if you want just to hear me talk more, I guess, about different things, go and check that out. The link to the episode is in the show notes. Now, last thing is I want to give you a quick Coach Katie update. Since we last talked, I informed you of her accident, and she's still currently in a coma, but there has been a little bit of progress with the swelling. Instead of having to basically control and drain the swelling every hour, it has moved to once a day, and it's also reduced enough for them to take an MRI. And I haven't heard the results from the MRI, but the goal was to really just find out more about what specifically is going on with her brain. And then there's some other things that they're working on now. Like, she's having some trouble regulating her body temperature. They're treating her for some pneumonia-like symptoms. And it just sounds like they're really going above and beyond to look at her whole body and everything that's going on. I was also informed from her partner, Derek, that she has some gnarly poison oak on her side. And he's gonna be reminding her when she wakes up that she didn't have to endure that, because we know poison oak is the worst. So there's a bonus that we were kind of joking about. But honestly, you guys, it's very important that she wakes up and that you continue to pray. And I don't mean to make the situation sound lighthearted, because it's been very heavy the last week, but it's just been so encouraging to see the community come behind her. You know, MTV NorCal, which is a local ride group who I think they officially became a nonprofit, but they hosted an event to raise money for her as a fundraiser. And Specialized donated an Enduro frame for the silent auction. Fox donated a 38 fork. The Lore Resort in Downeyville donated like two night stay with shuttles. And so all these people came in, and within a week, they basically were able to get this silent auction that raised over $10,000 for her. Because who knows what she's gonna have to pay, you know, coming out of this and rehab and everything. So continuing to donate with the GoFundMe link, you can check the show description notes there, is very important, and above all, your prayers. And not only that she wakes up from this, but that she's able to use this to really support people in the future and have a real impact on people, whether it's inspiration of her comeback or helping other people through the process. I don't know what it's gonna be yet, but that's what we're praying for, and that's the update there. So those are the announcements. Let's dive into the meat of this episode. This is exactly how to warm up for a strength workout. And by strength workout, I mean a functional total body workout that is actually gonna optimize your body for the bike. Now, I'm gonna warn you, my mouth is so dry that I have water on deck right now, and we have to do the dialed health drinking game, which means every time I take a sip, you gotta take a sip. Make sure you're drinking at least 100 ounces a day, people. Fellas, drink a gallon a day. Come on, let's step up the hydration game here, okay? I'm starting with a sip right now. Take a sip with me. Oh, had to wet the whistle. Now, let's go into step number one. Now, the first thing when jumping into a strength workout that you need to address are any chronic injuries that you're dealing with. Now, if nothing came to mind when I just said that, this might be a step that you can skip, but most people over the age of like, it kind of depends on your athletic history. You know, you have your age, which is gonna determine, you know, a lot of aches and pains for active people who have been active their whole life. But I also know people who haven't been active in their life at all. You know, I used to train some in their 40s with zero injuries their whole life, zero aches and pains, and they just weren't active. And you could have someone who, for instance, is 22, but has been super physical for the last decade, and they have all these things on their body torn up with them. So training age really does determine this. So I don't want to say just people over the age of 25, over the age of 30 or whatever. Because again, I have a very young training age, but I'm only 30. So anyways, if you don't have chronic injuries, you know, IT band syndrome, knee pain, back pain, shoulder pain, hip pain, whatever it might be, then you might be able to skip this step. For the majority that do and that are dealing with something, you want to make sure that you address it before the workout first thing, because you don't want the workout to make it worse. And by addressing this in the very beginning, it means the rest of your workout is going to be that much more effective, because you won't be compensating during certain exercises around that injury. For instance, like I deal with IT band syndrome off and on because I had an ACL surgery 10 years ago in my right leg, and they used one of my hamstrings to replace my ACL. And I regret it. I wish I would have done a cadaver, but they had kind of scared me into it. They're like, your body could reject a cadaver ACL. You're so young, yada, yada. Use your hamstring. You're not going to be a Olympic sprinter, so it doesn't really matter. And I was like, they're like, NBA players do it. I don't know why I remember all this. It was obviously a big decision, but I do regret it because it's led to these weird compensations on my right leg now. And a lot of them result in like IT band-like symptoms. So for myself, when I go into a strength workout, even if I'm not feeling the symptoms, I just check in on it. That's the big thing. You really, even if you're not having a flare up, you want to check in on the area. So for me, it means I foam roll those muscles around my IT band. So just the lateral side of my leg, the outside of my leg, you know, quads, hamstrings. I just kind of search around the area and make sure there's nothing really knotted up and tight that could sort of pull my leg or my knee out of alignment, which is sort of the start of IT band syndrome for a lot of people, where, you know, you'll get these tight muscles on the outside of your leg. It kind of pulls your kneecap over. You get this swelling and irritation on the outside of your knee. And for me also, it will turn off my adductors. So all the muscles on the inside of my leg stop working. Now I'm overusing the muscles on the outside of my leg. I'm not as strong. I'm not as stable. And it's just this compounding effect that I have learned the hard way over and over and over again, that if I don't check in on it, I could do more harm than good in the workout. And that's not to scare you into it, but you know, if you're having back pain and you don't go and release something in your low back, maybe using a lacrosse ball or do some low ab activation, we're going to talk about activation in a second. You know that, you know, as good as the workout should be, you could just be pissing your back off more. And that really sucks. You don't want to end the workout feeling worse off than you did. It wasn't really as worth it, because pain is going to stop you more than a lack of strength will, which is something that's weird for me to say, but it's why I know how important being pain-free is, or at least being able to manage your own pain. And that's the one thing I'll tell you that my IT band syndrome has been positive. Like, that's one positive thing I've gotten from it, is the real dive into corrective exercise and the certifications and everything I've done around it, and also being able to sympathize with people. Like, I get what it's like to literally, like, I'll wake up some mornings where I plan on, you know, doing a huge ride, and I'm like limping to go get coffee because my leg's so effed up. And thankfully, I know how to get it out of that state, I guess. So, and again, those are like the extreme experiences I've had, but you want to be able to manage those chronic injuries. So you start with a release of the muscle that's overactive, and then you go to activation of the muscles that are potentially underactive or should support those overused muscles. Now that sounds a little confusing, but here's the low back example. Now, when, let's just say you have tightness in your low back. Let's just say it is your muscles like your erector spinae or maybe your QL. So erector spinae are those two muscles that line your spine, like up and down your back. A lot of people feel those in their low back, or their quadratus lumborum, which are kind of deeper muscles sort of on the sides of your back. You know how people like the left side of their back gets all jacked up? And I'm talking about their low back. The right side of their low back gets jacked up. A lot of times it's their QL. So what you would want to do is release those muscles, you know, spending a minute or two on that problem area or side with like a lacrosse ball, breathing through it, allowing the muscles to just relax. And then the muscles that support your spine, your lower abs, need to be activated. So you could do posterior tilts where you're tucking your hips and laying on the ground and pushing your low back into the ground by flexing your abs. You could do some leg raises. There's a lot of variations you can do of that to get those low abs firing. So now not only are those muscles that are chronically tight, are they relaxed, but the muscles that should support it, which don't when you have a flare up, are turned on and they're more activated. So every workout you do after that is going to be more beneficial to strengthening those supportive muscles. Now, also with your low back, you want to strengthen your or activate your glutes, because your glutes and your low abs really protect your low back when those are working together. In fact, most of the time people have low back issues, those are turned off. And that's just an example. For my IT band, it's my glute medius and my adductors. So the muscle on the outside of my hip that stabilizes my knee tends to turn off when I have an IT band flare up. And also the muscles on the inside of my leg, which are my adductors. So like that teardrop muscle down by your knee, the VMO, and then muscles even all the way up the inside of my leg. So just general adductors. Now go ahead and take a sip of water with me, because I am parched, people. Oh my gosh, it's like I ate a handful of sand before this. Holy smokes. Anyways, I know that you might think, okay, how the heck am I supposed to know exactly what to do there? But, you know, there are tools and resources out for you to figure that out. You know, hopefully you don't have more than one chronic area so you can focus in and learn about those things like I just mentioned. Because there are clear ways to do it. And there's also some guess and check, some trial and error, you know, what exercise works better to activate this and that. But the first step before a strength workout is address any chronic injuries through release and activation. All right, so step one, address any chronic injuries with release and activation. Step two, this is not mandatory if you don't have a chronic injury, but man, is it a good way to start a workout. That is just get on the foam roller. So even if you don't have a chronic injury, I do recommend foam rolling before a session just to get the blood flowing and quote unquote loosen up. Again, this is not mandatory. There are people in regards to stretching and foam rolling that are gonna say, oh, you should never do it before a session, or you should never do it after a session, or oh my gosh, you know, if it's Tuesday and it's over 80 degrees and you just got in a fight with your wife, you should never foam roll before. Like, it's, oh my gosh, dude. You guys, the science on this stuff, it's like, it's either really extreme studies that don't apply to you, to be honest, or it's just not confirmed enough. So what I would say is try it for yourself, but I recommend getting on a foam roller to loosen up. Like, if you just want to get your mindset right, you know, you find your playlist, you're getting an idea of what your workout is, you know, you're scrolling through dialedhealth.com, you're like, what's on tap today? Then a foam rolling is a great place to start. And I love to do it that way. Messing around on the foam roller, it just feels great. Step number three is a steady state warm up. Now, this isn't absolutely mandatory, and I think this is for people who ride a little bit less, like they're riding volume somewhat low, and they have more time in their workout sessions. If that fits your criteria, then this is definitely for you. If that doesn't fit your criteria, it's an option for you, and it could be personal preference, but there's a way around this to save time. However, if you have the time, you wouldn't say you're on a high volume riding schedule, then this is a good idea. A steady state warm up. This could be any form of cardio, to be honest, to just elevate your heart rate. I think 6 to 8 minutes tends to be enough. 10 minutes can be nice because you can even go slower into it, but you're literally just trying to work up to a basic sweat or to the point where you maybe couldn't have a conversation. Like, you wanna get right up to that point. And so this could be on the row machine. You know, a lot of my programs, they have 1500 meters of rowing, which tends to be 6 to 8 minutes for a lot of people. This could be a light jog. This could be jump rope, an assault bike, a stationary bike, etc. I mean, there are some guys that go out front if they're working out at home, and they do wheelie practice on their bike. And they just continuously pop wheelies, which if you've ever done, gets tiring, and which is kind of cool because they can build a skill as well. So there's fun ways to do it also. You know, if you want to, yeah, jump rope or punch a punching bag or something like that, there are options and variety for you. I think the row machine is great because it's total body. Anything where you are using more of your total body, I think, is even more ideal because you're about to in that session. But just stick to 6 to 8 minutes. I think that's enough. 10 minutes if you want to go in even slower and have a bonus. But again, there is an option to miss this, and it's by combining the three next steps into a circuit, okay? So we're gonna pretend that you're not gonna do that, and I'm gonna go through the next step, the steps one at a time, and then I'm gonna tell you how to combine them for a time-saving round, which is actually on some of the lower volume plans like the road program. So once you are warm, now step four is to mobilize. Ideally, you would do this with dynamic or active stretches that work multiple areas of your body. So this would be combining an upper body and a lower body stretch, moving your torso, and not holding it for more than 2 to 5 seconds. So technically, a dynamic stretch is constant movement. And so you don't have to move fast, but you just move slowly. Let's just say, for example, you're doing a runner stretch. So to describe a runner stretch, you'd be in a plank with your legs extended back out behind you, hands are under your shoulders, high plank. And then you'd bring one leg up on the outside of your hand. So let's just say I brought my left leg up on the outside of my left hand. And now I have my left leg, or my left foot, excuse me, my left hand and my right hand all in a line. Everything's flat on the ground. Now from there, I would take my inside elbow, being my left arm. I'd reach it down toward the instep of my foot. I'd sink down, that would stretch my high hamstring, that would stretch my hip, and then I'd rotate that same arm up toward the ceiling and twist. It would open my chest, it opened my T-spine up, it would stretch my glute, and then I could bring my leg back, I could repeat it on the opposite side, and with that steady movement, you're doing a dynamic stretch that stretches multiple parts of your body. So that is just an example, and there's such a variety of ways to do that, which is really cool. There are some go-tos, like I use the runner stretch as an example because I think that's my favorite, honestly, like go-to dynamic stretch to do either mid-set or as a warm-up. It's incredible. It feels so good. I can't ever get over it. I've been doing it for like 7 years or something. Like when I first started that variation, I was like, this is it. It doesn't get better than this. You can have different things. It just doesn't get better. That's honestly the truth. So runner stretch is great. If you decided to hold each position for 2 to 5 seconds, then it becomes an active stretch. So you can do the same movement with a dynamic motion or an active motion, but active means hold 2 to 5 seconds. There are other movements that work better with that. I know a lot of standing movements work really great, but again, you can just hold any stretch for 2 to 5 seconds, repeat it like 3 times, and now you're active stretching. Either one of those two are great for you to do after your warm-up because it brings you to your current optimal level of mobility and flexibility, but it doesn't lengthen it or further it, which we don't really need to do. We can save that for outside of workouts. We can save it for the end of the session, but really you're trying to get to your optimal state. And after the steps that we had already talked about, which is like address the chronic injuries, you foam roll, you get a warm up going. Now, when you mobilize, your body is warm. The muscles you need activated to fight chronic injuries are activated, and you're mobile. You're as mobile as you could be currently, right now. At least that's gonna put you in your ideal situation to get the most out of your training and just not have muscle compensation. So that's why you wanna mobilize post warm-up. Now, the next step, once you mobilize, it's again like the chronic injury step, you activate. But this is gonna be more directed towards prepping for your real strength work. And it can include actual strength work, you know, which is like band pull-aparts to activate your rhomboids and your mid traps and just your upper back in general, your shoulders. It could be lateral tube walks to activate your hips. You know, this is one I do for my IT band when it flares up. It could be plank inchworm walkouts where you're getting your core activated. It could be hanging leg raises. Like there's so many movements that you can do which are like strength core movements that are done at a low enough intensity that you can start with them to activate and they're gonna prep you for a later heavier lift or effort. I have found this to be one of the most important things to do before you start picking up heavier weight. And really just to start a session with in general, because it's almost like the icing on the cake of a warm-up, because you get to a point where you're like, okay, I'm warm, I feel loose, I'm ready, but you're not like tight yet. And I know that I wish I had like a scientific term for you to say, but I mean, activated would be the scientific term, but it feels like tight, connected. Like I want my body working together and I want to be able to brace and have this immovable feeling when I contract my muscles. And a lot of times you don't until you do the activation. So a movement like doing a walkout inchworm where I start feet together. I go down like a hammy stretch. I walk out to a plank, and then I walk my hands past my shoulders. The farther out those hands go, I posted a video on my Instagram of tapping the nose on the ground with the arms straight. You don't have to go that intense. I actually would not do that right out of the gate. I warmed up quite a bit before that. But you can repeat those, and now you're getting your shoulders fired up. You're getting your core fired up, your hips, and everything is like working together and bracing. And you get activated, which feels so good. So, you know, focus on activating your hips, your shoulders, the low abs, and you could even do a lower body stabilizer. So if you know you have a lot of single leg work that day, you could stand on a balance pad, or you could do some opposite toe touches where you're literally on one foot and you have your, let's say you're on your right foot, left foot's off the ground, so you're balancing on one leg, and then your left arm is overhead and you're reaching down and tapping your right toe, the planted foot, and then returning to that top position and repeating reps for that. Again, more warm up, and it's getting all those muscles through your ankle, through your calf, through your foot activated, which is going to prime you for later workouts that day. And doing it somewhat specific toward your later workouts is ideal, but even doing one of those, even if it doesn't feel like it's the perfect workout for, like if, let's say you're not following a program for some reason and you're just like, okay, I'm just gonna do this, it's still going to be better than doing nothing, because your body is going to fire up some way somehow. But if anything, just activate your core and you're off to a better start. Now it's time to grab a drink, because I'm thirsty again. Holy smokes, I just don't get the drive through it, you guys. I do not get it. Okay, now step six, prep sets. This is a light variation of your heavier lift that day. So this is like, for instance, say you have trap bar deadlifts, right? You would want to do some form of a prep set to make sure that it's like, this is literally, if the activation was like the cherry on top, these are the sprinkles, okay? This is another step, which I'm not going to say it's completely mandatory unless you're going super heavy. I don't have people do, you know, one rep maxes usually for a lot of reasons we won't get into now. And it's not that I'm against it. There's just, there are a lot of different steps you'd have to do. This would be one of them. You know I'm going to do, let's say, a set of like five, I'm going to probably do some sets lighter weight and work up to the weight and have my last set be the heaviest set of the day through my prescribed set. So let's just say I have three rounds of eight deadlifts, or excuse me, for the example, it'd be three rounds of five deadlifts. The first two would be significant. The first one would be significantly lighter than the last one, and I'd kind of work up to it a little bit. Or you can add like a one-off prep set where before you start your actual round, let's just say you have 225 for your max on a trap bar deadlift and for five reps. If you knew, okay, you could do 200 for five and you wanted those to be your working sets, and then you'll finish with a 225 heavy, well, you could do a 135, which is just one plate versus two plates on each side, before you even start your main set rounds, just to, again, last minute priming for your body, where you know, okay, it's not heavy enough for you to count it as a real set and significant work, because it's not really gonna make you adapt too much. There's not enough like progressive overload, really. Like, it's just not heavy enough, right? And so you would wanna do that final prep set as like your warm up. And even though it's a little bit extra, you don't want to count it yet. So does that make sense? That's what really a prep set is. And a lot of powerlifting programs have these programmed where you have your prep sets and then you have your working sets. But again, we have to be, as cyclists, we have to be careful about our volume, because if we overdo our volume, it's just going to affect our riding too much, especially with heavy lower body exercises. So keep that in mind. That was one where I almost didn't include it because I didn't want it to be confusing. And as I talk through it, it's like, you know, this is those things when I'm in person with someone and I'm like, yo, just do this set real quick. They don't really like think about it too much. But when I program it online, you have to have such clear explanations. So sometimes for the clarity, it's worth not complicating things for them to be effective. So anyways, I wanted to mention it just because we're doing this thing the right way. So prep sets, it's an option. It's not mandatory, but if you do plan on going heavier and like pretty heavy for you that day, I would include it to the end of your warm up. So let's go over that list, and then we're going to talk about cool down sets, backing off, static stretching, all that stuff. So quick sip of water, because you already know. Hot dang. Okay. Here's the list. Step one, address any chronic injuries. Step two, foam roll, not mandatory, but it feels really good. I recommend you try it. Step three, steady state cardio warm up. Step four, mobilize through dynamic and active stretching. Step five, activate core, hips, shoulders, low abs, lower body stabilizers. Step six, optional, prep set. Now, that is the extensive list, which in my opinion, if you wanted to do all of those things, you can. Just be specific about what you're gonna do so you don't end up there for 30 minutes. You know, I have done these extensive warm-ups before where I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, maybe that was perfect, but I can never replicate that. Now I don't have time to do the real work I want to, yada, yada. It's easy to go be too excessive with it. So even when I say activation and all the core and hips and shoulders, like you could pick one. You really could pick one. Or if it's programmed for you, you know, you don't have to think about it and you just follow the program. And I do like the off-season enduro program that I have currently is a really great example of this format where it's like foam roll, warm up on the row machine, do a couple total body dynamic stretches. Your first round is mostly just activation, and then you get into the real work. Now, that is something you can do, but again, it's very time consuming if you try to do all of them without like a focused intention. So keep that in mind. Now, if you wanted to skip a couple steps here, you can. Here's how to make this more time efficient and really what you'll see in the road program, because again, it's based off the idea that you are doing high volume on the bike. So it's like straight to the nitty gritty, right? What you can do instead of a static warm up is combine the mobilize, activate, and prep set in a circuit, and that way it could be your first round of the day and you do everything at once and it's appropriate. Like it's you, because you're doing it in a circuit, you're warming up and that cancels out the steady state warm up. But again, it's not too much work to where you are jumping into things and it's unsafe. So for example, you could have a round that starts with the runner stretch, very first movement that you do. You get off the foam roller, you go into some runner stretches, it feels great. Next movement, activation. It could be some walkout inchworms. And then prep set, it could be, let's just say, either the lightweight trap bar deadlift, or it could be a squat variation, or it could be even hanging leg raise for pull-ups that you're gonna do later that day. So you are mobilizing, you're activating, and you're even doing a little bit more of a prep set. And it's funny because a lot of these workouts that I structure this way, I don't even call it a warm-up round, I just call it a prep round. Because you are doing more than just warming up. You are warming up because of the circuit, you get warm through the movements and the constant movement and lack of rest, but you're also going more than, you're doing more than just like a steady state warm-up. Because I think when someone says warm-up, that's kind of what they think of, and there's so much more to it. So you combining mobility with activation and prep all in one round as three movements is a way for you to skip the actual steady state warm up and get straight to work. And now you can just build your strength round after that. And you know, okay, I'm gonna like, it's almost like a light round with mobility. And then you have your heavy work round after that. That's a way to program your workout. Hopefully I'm not giving away too much here, but that's a way that I do a lot of my training sessions because it's so freaking effective. It's so, and it's so good for the volume that you need as a cyclist. So those are the options. That is exactly how to warm up for a strength workout. Now, I told you I wasn't going to leave you hanging on the cooldown, so I'm not. Here are the options for you to cool down and really what I'd recommend with. Now, just like the prep sets that you have before heavy strength exercises, which I forgot to mention a couple things, you know, if you're doing bench press, you could do a light set of bench press. You could do push-ups. If you're doing shoulder press, you could do a light set of shoulder press. Those are all examples of how to do a prep set. It doesn't have to be something as heavy as a trap bar deadlift, just so you know. Now, the same way you do those prep sets, it feels very good and it really kickstarts recovery when you do back off sets. That's because of really blood flow is like the biggest answer. But it probably makes sense if you knew what a back off set was. It's the opposite of a prep set. Instead of prepping for a workout, you're coming, prepping for a heavy movement, you're coming out of a heavy movement. So you repeat that movement that you did heavy at a lighter weight and potentially higher reps. Now, this one's interesting because it does increase the total workload and volume of the workout. But if you go light enough and you make sure that you don't push past fatigue, then you're gonna just promote blood flow to the area, the working joints, the working muscles, and you're not going to add too much fatigue. I've noticed personally with a lot of workouts that it feels like my joints are happier when I do it that way. And it feels like more of a natural way to come out of the workout into a stretch is just to do that back offset. So I do this mostly with shoulders, to be honest, and then like the really heavy movements like the trap bar deadlift. Instead of just doing a heavy set and stopping, I'll go light. I'll either repeat the same amount of reps, maybe do a couple more if I'm going super light. And it feels right. It feels right. And the truth is, it's just promoting blood flow, bringing oxygen to the muscles, helping you repair and restore from that heavy workload. And so like shoulder press, for example, I love doing it with shoulder press, but a lot of times because I can handle heavier volume on my shoulders, I'll do more like a drop set where on the last set of heavy, I'll almost go immediately into a lighter set and just go till failure. And that's truthfully what a drop set is. A lot of bodybuilders do that. So you have to be careful again, because it's increasing your workload. Doing that on like, you know, going straight to it and turning your back offset into a drop set, which just, the big difference is really the time in between. You know, if you have 90 seconds between your regular set and your back offset, then it's a true back offset. But if you're doing a drop set, you're like putting the weight down and you're just going to the lighter weight and going to fatigue and failure. And it's a great way to increase volume, a great way to increase blood flow, but again, it's also gonna increase fatigue. So be careful on that time in between those sets. But that is another option for you, and I would recommend experimenting with it. I know personally, if my legs are already kind of feeling the session, because I'm a little bit more strict about how my legs feel, like as far as totally frying them. Like I love to destroy my legs, obviously, like, you know, we're bike riders, but, and I love doing it in the gym. You just can't do it in the gym. Like you just can't if you have like any reasonable amount of riding on your schedule. And so you have to be careful of that and you have to be protective of it. So if you feel like, even though you went heavy, but you feel like your legs are already feeling as fatigued as you'd want them, or you can tell you're already gonna be a little sore, then maybe just skip the back offset and add the stretching, or go extremely light on your back offset and don't even come close to failure. And then again, promoting blood flow and just helping that recovery kickstart. Those are really good ideas. So that's a back offset. Keep in mind the difference between a back offset and a drop set. Now, once you have somewhat gotten the blood out of your muscles, hopefully you have a sick, juicy pump after your workout and you're all pumped up and you wanna start stretching, but if you're too pumped, this is turning into a real Jersey Shore conversation, but if you're too pumped, bro, then you're not gonna be able to stretch your muscles. So what I'll do typically in a total body workout, whatever exercise I'm most pumped from is the area that I'll stretch last. Or for instance, like if I finish with a drop set of shoulder press, I'm probably gonna stretch my legs first and let the blood come out of my shoulders a little bit before I stretch my shoulders. And so that's just a good way to approach it. You can follow your programming as well, but even if you switch the order because you're like, dude, my legs are like really pumped right now, but my upper body is feeling somewhat relaxed, I can tell the blood's not like stopping my range of motion, because that's ultimately what it does. If you're too pumped, like, I don't know if you've ever felt this way, this is definitely a gym bro thing, but if you get such a crazy upper body pump, like you won't be able to touch your own shoulders with your fingers. Like if you raise your arms almost like you're flexing like a double front bicep pose, and then you go to like touch your shoulders, hopefully you can do that right now with ease. But if you have a crazy upper body pump, like you're doing chest and back or some bodybuilding workout, like you might not be able to touch your shoulders, you're so pumped. So obviously you're not gonna be able to stretch and have it be very effective. Like maybe you could do some active like arm swings, that'll help. And I would do that if you are pumped to the point where you're not gonna get an effective static stretch. But really you wanna get a static stretch and you wanna relax. And you wanna be able to hold a stretch for at least 30 seconds because you have this thing called your Golgi tendon organ response. And it's your body's natural urge to fight a stretch to protect your muscle. So it feels a muscle starting to be stretched and it's naturally going to tense up, and you can't control it. You just have to give it some time. Usually it goes away in about 20 seconds. So 30 seconds being your minimum stretch means that you'll at least get some lengthening of the tissue, or at least ensure some of it. Going up to 60 seconds, 90 seconds, 2 minutes, that is not crazy, you guys. I just want you to know that right now. The same way you'll ride your bike for 4 hours, people stretch for, you know, and people, by the way, I say that because people think you're crazy for riding your bike 4 hours. You know you're not crazy. Same thing with stretching. Dude, people hold stretches for 10 minutes. And I'm not saying to go and do that. I'm just saying 2 minutes of a stretch is not crazy. Breathe, chill out, get the real benefit from the stretch. And I'm going to tell you, holding a stretch for 2 minutes, especially in an area that's tight for you, is going to be more effective than holding it for 30 seconds. That's the truth. Feel it, experience it for yourself. There's something really sweet about that 2 minute spot. I don't know what it is. There's a lot of trainers who talk about it. But what's crazy is like, I've held stretches for 5+ minutes. And after that 2 minute mark, you'll find yourself going for more, like deepening the stretch. And that's what's really interesting about it. So give yourself some time. But again, if you don't have all the time in the world, I understand. Try and get at least 30 seconds on those muscle groups you need, holding it static, breathing through it. And that'll be the ideal way to pretty much end your session. The other option, if you're super short on time, is to just repeat a dynamic stretch, something that maybe you did from your warm-up, because that dynamic stretch, it's going to help, you know, move the blood through your body, and you're still gonna kind of re-meet your end ranges of motion. You're just not gonna lengthen any tissue that you might want. Like, you know, if you're trying to improve your hamstring mobility, a dynamic stretch at the end of the session isn't gonna help as much as a static stretch, but it's better than nothing. So keep that in mind. Remember, there's like a minimum bar for stuff that you wanna do. And then there's like the bonus. And that's kind of what I wanted you to be clear about today, was this is really the meat of what you're trying to accomplish. And then there's, of course, more that you can do. So hopefully what you just learned in all of that is clear to you, and hopefully that you can implement it, because that's really what I want out of this. So let me know if you have any questions about the specific warm-up and the specific cool-down. If anything, just go to dowdhealth.com and check out the workouts there, and you'll have that pretty cleared up for you. Very proud to bring you our first sponsor of the podcast. This is a product that I believe in so much. Of course, I wouldn't bring you something that I didn't, but it's insane to see really how much impact this has had on my life. And that's because this product is dialedhealth.com. Go to dialedhealth.com and get yourself on some strength training and some mobility training to specifically optimize your cycling and make you the happiest, healthiest human possible. Get involved with the community through the forum, through the Instagram page, by listening to this podcast and sharing it with your friends, or going by the YouTube and checking out the new vlogs that are dropping. Dialedhealth.com. It's everything you need, everything you want. It's going to fulfill all your fantasies and desires. What do you think, guys? Was that pretty sick for an ad? Honestly, I've been wanting to just do that for a while because I thought it was funny. And now that I did it, I don't know, it's a little bit underwhelming. But it'd be cool to have sponsors on the podcast. You know, it's actually growing to the point where I think that's realistic. So maybe we'll see. Maybe the truth is I have to hunt it down. I don't think anyone's going to be knocking down the door, but I think we can make it happen if we started pushing for it. So we'll see. Until then, we'll be plugging dialedhealth.com like you wouldn't believe. I understand, actually, this whole episode has been a major plug for dialedhealth.com. But I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you have gone and checked out the website. And I'm going to talk about it now in the update, but it's super exciting to see what's coming with it. So anyways, thanks for listening. Sorry, kind of a random joke, but let's go into the personal and business update. Little update for you guys. I'm planning on doing a double century, and I think very soon. Now, this is part of my prep for the DH Vert Challenge, because I knew leading into the Vert Challenge, I'm doing a wildly drastic jump in my vert training and volume and just time spent in motion on the bike. But I'm not going to be able to up my weekly volume on a regular basis, because I'm already, I don't want to say capped, just considering my family life and work and everything I do, but my focus is going to be to stay consistent and just sprinkle in extra 30 minutes on the trainer when I can, with the exception of some big random rides leading up to it. Because I'm like, okay, I'm continually making progress in my just general riding fitness and by staying so consistent. But again, I can't really do much more than I am doing already. You know, most of my trainer rides are 90 minutes, if not 2 hours. Like it's, you know, it's very rare that I do less than that on the trainer. That's when I'm like having a really bound up day or something came up. And then I get 2 outdoor rides in on the weekend. Really my volume on the bike is like 7 to 10 hours, give or take, typically for the week. I do my 2 strength workouts, I have a rest day. It's been a great balance and I'm still seeing a lot of improvement from it. But again, like I know I need some real big days, even if not physically, just mentally, to kind of prepare myself for this 29K, which is hard to even fathom, honestly. It's like, I think I have like this naive confidence or something, but my thought was 2 things. I want to do a big day in the saddle, and I've never done a double century, so I want to try that. I also have a buddy who invited me on a ride from South Lake Tahoe to San Francisco, and in one day, and it's like 300 miles. And I was like, you know what? Before I even say yes, let me do a double first, because the longest distance I've ever ridden was 105 miles. And it was like 12K of climbing, so it was legit. And I felt really strong on the ride. We even kind of pushed the intensity on some of the climbs and everything. But yeah, I mean, I gotta at least do a double before I commit to a triple. And I was like, you know what? It'd be great saddle time prep for the vert challenge. So I'm gonna make sure I do a double century with some climbing. And like the one we have planned right now has like 15K. So it'd be a new vert PR, but really it's just for a big day in the saddle on the bike to prep. So I was like, okay, I can do that. Now, the other thing I need to do is one big day of climbing on the mountain bike. So I already have the fire road picked out that I'm just gonna do repeats on, but I wanna get a 20K day on my mountain bike of climbing. And I'm probably gonna do it locally as long as the weather cooperates. Maybe I have to go up the hill to get cooler weather, but that's kind of the plan, is like those 2 big rides sometime before the event at the end of September. And I know that sounds like not that much, but you know, I already do bigger rides on the weekends, you know, where I'll be out for 3-4 hours. Maybe I'll do the occasional century when I have the time for it. So like those are happening. Like there is some volume there in some weeks where I do bump up over 10 hours. But realistically, I look forward to my schedule and I'm like, man, I just had a race last weekend. I have a race at the end of July. I have some family events coming up, and I'm like, by the time all this stuff happens, I was like, it's probably only realistic that I get 2 full days to go ride my bike all day, you know, just considering family and everything. So that is my plan. And it looks like on the schedule that next weekend might be the best time to do this double century. So it's happening soon. Thankfully, my buddy who I did that big 12K day with, who's trying to get me to go on this ride from South Lake Tahoe to San Fran. This is Tanner Stevens. Shout out to you, OG Dowd fan member and past downhill racer, which is how we met, which is pretty cool. We've both like gone from all downhill to a lot more endurance style of riding, just kind of what we love. We still love it all, but that's what we've been doing more of. And he's just down to do it with me. So Jonathan Lee created this route for us. It's like 15K vert. And I think the plan is to start early with some lights and put a bar bag on my bike and just freaking send it. So we'll see if this ends up happening. I have to confirm the date with my wife and, you know, make sure the family's taken care of before I commit to it. But I think it's gonna happen soon and I'm super excited about that. Now, let's grab a little sip of water because the parched mouth continues. So the other thing I'm just excited about is just dialed health right now. You know, I feel like we're in the best spot we've been in all year because we came into the year swinging with the dialed health shred and it was really successful. But before that was even over, I had the twins and it just freaking rocked my world. It rocked my schedule and my energy and it put so many new, honestly, just boundaries on my work. And it became very hard, especially at the time where we were scaling up dialed health. Because I was already at the point where I needed to bring people on the team to do projects for me beyond just the random freelancers that I work with, the web team. And thankfully, you know, we've gotten to a place now where just the general weekly flow of like operations is getting on a bigger level than I could just do for myself. But I had to start figuring that all out right when the twins were born. And it just felt insane. It felt like for a while I was going to work like, man, I don't know what to do really. Like, I don't know what is the most important thing for me to do because I'm always doing stuff. I'm always taking action, but it's like, at what order of importance should I be doing things? Which can be the biggest question, you know? Do you put out this fire or do you put out this piece of content? You know, do you do communications or do you service like the website? Do you create this program or do you focus on getting on a podcast? Like, there's so many angles to it. And yeah, it's just been, there was a lot of questions. And especially at that time, I was going home. And the home life was so turned on its head where I was like, what is going on? And so it felt like 3 months of like, what is going on, you know? And it got very stressful. So thankfully the kids are sleeping. I'm getting on top of, you know, I just getting my energy back in that sense. And I just, my spice for life, I don't know. But since we've set up the operations for Dialed Health, like on a bigger scale, we have Amber involved as the project manager. We have Brady for digital media. We have Chad coming in and helping out with all sorts of stuff on the back end, which shout out to you, Chad just had his baby yesterday and still on the team emails getting stuff done. Man, he's getting something really cool done too, which I haven't talked to. Well, if I wrap, we're gonna hopefully wrap something up that I can bring up soon, but there's a lot of stuff in motion, and it feels so clear on the next steps for Dialed Health right now that I'm working on. And so anyways, I don't know. I'm just really stoked about it, man. It's like you don't see the next, it's like you can't see the next step until you take that previous step. Like you can only see one step ahead, and it's not till you get there to where you're revealed to where to go next. And that's what's so funny about like business plans and long-term 5-year plans, 10-year plans or whatever. Like it's good to have that endpoint and be able to direct your compass on something, but it's just wild how things are revealed to you throughout the process that you could have never imagined, really, like, or like considered or thought with clarity and taken action on it. So anyways, I'm starting to ramble a little bit, but I just want you guys to know I'm just pumped on Dialed Health right now. I'm pumped on the platform, the community we're building, and man, yeah, it feels like we're just getting going. So anyways, thanks for the support, you guys. I hope you have an absolutely incredible week. And with that being said, I will see you next Wednesday. Start moving forward. Have an awesome week.